The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. On today's program, we're going to, we have quite a lot to get through, more than we probably have time for, but that's a good problem to have. While the media are screaming about the possibility of Trump-fueled violence aimed at minorities, more acts of violence, actual violence, are coming down hard on Trump supporters. So we'll get more into that later on in the program. Also, we have lots and lots of news to get to on Germany and Europe and the push to build a European army. I've got, again, more stories here than I probably have time to go through, and we'll get to that here in just a second. And then, assuming we have the time at the end, we have lots and lots of emails to get to today as well. This is the last show of the week. Don't forget about your weekend assignment. Send us an email. Email the show at td@kpcg.fm. And when you do, just an additional request here. Don't forget to include, I've often asked about sending your listening habits along. But also along with that, don't forget to include, along with your name, where you're located, where you listen from. Some of you have emailed more quite a few times, and maybe you think I commit all of your locations to memory, but I am forgetful. So if you would remind me at the end of your email, because I think a lot of you listeners are like me, inspired to hear from where everyone's listening in. And we do have a relatively small audience, but that audience truly is scattered over all the earth, and there certainly are a lot of nations, a lot of people scattered in a lot of nations listening in to kpcg.fm or listening to that live stream at the trumpet.com website. Well, GermanForeignPolicy.com, it sent out an email alert this week. I think this was from a couple of days ago. We just didn't have time to squeeze it into yesterday's program, since we were just kind of focusing in on Donald Trump's trade platform or trade policies. But German Foreign Policy sent out this alert on Wednesday titled Superpower Europe. Superpower Europe. That was the alert for GermanForeignPolicy.com. And many of you listeners, of course, are well aware of the fact that during his ministry, Herbert W. Armstrong also sent out a number of alerts. A number of them, dozens of them, perhaps more than that, maybe into the hundreds, if you add all the articles, all the programs, all the booklets together. One alert after another alert after another alert about Superpower Europe. An oncoming European superpower. It's just that, of course, he was sending those alerts out back when the Soviet Union completely dominated Eastern Europe. He was sending those alerts out when Germany was divided into two nations. He was sending those alerts out when the European Union didn't even exist. How about that? One after another. This one from 1952, but there will be a United States of Europe, he said. There will be a union of 10 nations. And then, of course, all of the sound bites. Here's one of them. Clip one from an old radio broadcast.
Gradually and now faster and faster, a new power is being developed from underneath the surface, a new world power, which the public now least suspects, which the world does not yet see, doesn't realize, doesn't dream is coming, but it is developing just as prophesied in Europe a resurrected Roman Empire that will combine some 350 millions of population, a power so mighty that our Western peoples will stand aghast when it flashes suddenly into full being. Yes, your Bible says that the world will be startled.
Of course, that's why he was saying it 50, 60, 70 years ago. It's because that's what the Bible prophesies. And so he sent out the alert. Of course, he didn't have email back in 1952, but the alerts came out nonetheless. All the letters, all the booklets, all the Plain Truth articles, all of the radio programs, like what you just heard from there. And then now you have leaders in Europe today identifying this union as a superpower. And there's a few steps yet to take to get to that level. But that's where they're headed. And they're talking about it openly. GermanForeignPolicy.com, this alert, it says, under German pressure, the EU is pushing toward the establishment of military structures independent of NATO. Why would they want it independent of NATO? Well, you've been watching. You've been listening. You've seen the campaign. You've seen the rhetoric. You know Donald Trump's policies. And so Europe is coming together, calling for special meetings. Germany's the one that called for the dinner Sunday night. And these meetings that went through Monday and Tuesday of this week, talking about military structures that we need to now put in place. It says at their meeting, I think they ended on Tuesday, the defense ministers decided as a first step that particular EU countries should enhance their military cooperation. So that's the first step. Now keep in mind, this is something that they have been talking about, and we've reported on it over and again. It's significant. They're talking about it. But what's different now is that the talk is now leading to action. And the first step, as it says there in the email alert, is that the countries need to come together and cooperate militarily. This is something that they've been hesitant to do. I mean, a lot of them haven't even paid their NATO dues because the United States funded all of it, or for the most part, most of it. And so it was going this direction with President Obama. And then now Donald Trump has taken that ball and he is running with it. Well, if you're not going to pay your dues, we're not even going to support it. And that's where we are today. It's amazing what's happened this year. Well, it says in this report that they're all coming together, these European ministers, and they're the one, as you can imagine, that's dragging its feet is the UK. But that's no problem because, well, the UK is on the way out. It says here later, the decisions taken by the EU defense ministers at their meeting ending Tuesday largely meet the demands for an enhanced EU military cooperation that Berlin for years has been pushing for, particularly since last summer. Germany has wanted this for a long time. They've been pushing for this for years, but they just haven't been able to get it beyond talk. To this point, it's been talk, talk, talk. And you can understand why, because the U.S. military umbrella still covered the entire continent. Well, that's not going to be the case for much longer. It says enhancing cooperation of particular EU countries, in fact, would lay the groundwork for creating an EU army from below. However, the official founding of the EU army is out of the question for as long as the UK is still a member of the EU. London considers NATO structures sufficient and has no interest in building a counterforce to the USA. The UK has no interest in building this counterforce, but Germany does, Italy does, France does, and as it happens, the UK is on the way out. So this is what it's taken to really get this thing on the fast track. It took Donald Trump's unbelievable victory. It really was. Who expected it? And then who expected Brexit in June? And in the last, as I've said earlier this week, in the last 5-6 months, we've seen the whole geopolitical order in Europe completely turned on its head. What a transformation. What a year this has been. Nobody expected it. Nobody expected Brexit, except this church, of course. Nobody expected Donald Trump to win. Nobody expected NATO to be dissolved. Nobody expected Europe to really go forward with this European army. Well, nobody, unless you were receiving the alerts from Herbert Armstrong back in 1952 or 1965 or 1971 or 1983. It's amazing what's happened in the last 5-6 months, as I say. Nobody expected Brexit. Nobody expected Donald Trump to win. I mean, there were reports following last Tuesday that said Hillary Clinton's team on Tuesday morning, the day of the election, they had broken open champagne bottles. They were ready to celebrate. And then, well, the day took a turn for the worse. Continuing from GermanForeignPolicy.com, it says Berlin is meeting resistance in an attempt to use the election of Donald Trump as president to legitimize the creation of EU military structures. Listen to that. They're getting some resistance. Where? Well, from the UK and from some of the states in the East, Eastern Europe states. But leave that aside. Berlin is using the election of Donald Trump to legitimize the creation of EU military structures. Now, isn't that astounding? Following Trump's electoral victory, the German Council on Foreign Relations claimed the defense of liberal democracy has become our top priority. Europe must prepare itself to assume more responsibility in foreign and security policy. We have to step forward, and Germany's taking the lead, and none of this surprises you. This relatively small audience scattered over all the earth, coming from all different nations, none of it surprises you. Because this is the message of the Bible. And the world is in darkness. The world is totally unaware of this true gospel message, an everlasting gospel, as it's called in Revelation 14. This is the gospel that Jesus brought into Galilee, preaching the truth about the soon coming kingdom of God. And these prophecies that are unfolding before our eyes, these are the prophecies that are to happen. These are the events that immediately precede the return of Christ to this earth. How about that? You've heard all about it from Herbert Armstrong, and as I have said already this week, well, we're just an extension of that work. It's amazing. We're an extension of it. It all started in such an incredibly small way, that work through Mr. Armstrong, back in 1933, just outside of Salem, Oregon. He was staying with a family known as the Fishers, preparing for a public speaking campaign in the little Fear Butte school, little schoolhouse. 20-some people came the first night, 19 the next. This was the beginning of the Philadelphia era of God's church. And as I was reminding my students of this morning, even before that, as he explains in his autobiography, the beginning, the very beginning, was Mr. Armstrong going out each morning, praying earnestly at his prayer rock not far from the Fisher home, for God to bless those campaigns, for God to bring forth fruit from those campaigns. And a few people came along. You talk about a relatively small group. You talk about a relatively small audience. But look at what it grew into as that gospel message went all over the earth. around the world. And at Mr. Armstrong's death in 1986, Satan was cast down. And when he was cast to this earth, along with his demons, confined to this earth, well, what it says over in Revelation 12 is that he knows how short his time is. And when he was cast to this earth, he knew in 1986. And the Bible says he went right after the church of God. And so many of God's own people, so many of God's own children, have turned away from the truth. They've turned away from these prophecies. And you still see little remarks from them here and there, from email responses or whatever, about all of the prophecies that Herbert Armstrong supposedly got wrong. Well, so he was anticipating it happening a little bit sooner, just like the Apostle Paul was. And now look at where we are. Email alerts about superpower Europe. Well, who sent those alerts in 1952? Something to think about. It says here in GermanForeignPolicy.com, to consolidate the EU further in opposition to Trump, the EU's foreign policy chief, Federica Mogherini, had convened under German pressure. I'd like to know what GermanForeignPolicy.com sources are. But they have their finger to the pulse of what's happening in Europe. It's the German pressure behind Federica Mogherini. It's the German pressure behind the formation of these military structures. This is spot on. And congratulations to them for getting this message and then sending out the email alert. It says here, the British foreign minister, well, Boris Johnson didn't want to attend because, again, UK, they have no interest in building this counterforce to the USA. But that's okay. Germany knows they're on the way out. It says here, the attempts to gradually shake off U.S. influence and organize an EU military are being flanked by calls for a superpower Europe, as EU foreign policy chief Mogherini formulated it. That's what she's calling it. Well, this is the counterbalance. This is the counterforce to the USA. Since they're leaving, since they're turning isolationist, well, then the answer, the response, obviously, is this: superpower Europe. Superpower Europe. It says here, the EU is facing increasing competition in the global market, explained Mogherini last week. We can only succeed if we work together with the full potential of a superpower in the field of security and defense. Mogherini, who until now has acted in accord with Berlin, was confident that there would be an increasing demand of Europe in global policy. And then it says here finally, Mogherini and Asselborn are picking up the cues that had been openly discussed in German think tanks more than a decade ago. The struggle to implement the concept of a superpower EU until now has been hampered by the numerous internal contradictions within the alliance. Well, there's contradictions there because, as the Bible prophesies, it's a mixture of iron and clay, Daniel 2. It's a mixture of iron and clay. And so you've had discussions, and they've gone on for years and years. But now we could be entering a decisive phase, says GermanForeignPolicy.com, says this email alert. And keep in mind that with respect to the political union, and with respect to the economic union, all of those discussions, all of those talks going back to the 1950s and 60s, they did result in a European Union. They did result in a common currency. And now the last domino to fall, we've got the military and all the talk that's been leading up to this point. Now we're entering into a decisive phase. Look at what's happened just this year. Just this year, 2016. Satan knows he has but a short time. He knows. And so he went right after the church after 1986. And we've seen the destruction. We've lived through it, so many of us. The church was his first target. That's what it says in Revelation 12. He went and persecuted the woman. And then now he's bringing down the United States of America, which we've been talking about a lot in the last couple weeks as well. America under attack. And then the follow-up booklet to that, Great Again. He's bringing down Manasseh. He's bringing down Ephraim and Manasseh. He's bringing down Joseph, the tribe of Joseph. And yet we see the rise of Europe. It's happening right at the same time. Same with Russia, same with China, same with Iran. What a world. The EU Observer, here's another piece. EU crafts defense plan in Trump's shadow. A jumbo-sized meeting of 56 EU foreign and defense ministers endorsed a plan to create a mini-military headquarters and to have joint rapid reaction forces on Monday. So that was from earlier this week. I'm sure this will generate some discussion on Trumpet Hour later today as well. That's in Oklahoma at 4 o'clock on Friday afternoons. In any event, it says here, they also agreed that the EU needed its own joint forces that could be sent, if needed, to situations of high security risk in the regions surrounding the EU, for instance, in Africa, but said those types of operations would be commanded out of national headquarters. EU battle groups have existed. Listen to this. EU battle groups have existed for 10 years, but have never seen action, in part because participating states never wanted to foot the bill. Here again, you have the American umbrella. You had the American-dominated NATO alliance. They never wanted to foot the bill, so they never saw action. Monday's plan said battle groups should be funded by the EU budget. So here's the separation. Clearly, here's the separation between the EU and the United States. It says here, it's more than just blah, blah, blah. That's what an EU diplomat said. There's a new level of political ambition and a document with concrete tasks and a detailed timetable for implementation. After all these years, you see, of talk, 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 or blah, 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 as the diplomat said. Now the leaders in Europe, they're poised and ready. They've got a detailed timetable. They've got a plan of implementation. They've got a plan of action. Here's Politico. Here's a U.S. source now. This is how the U.S. reported on it. EU backs greater military cooperation. And notice in all these, no one, excepting maybe GermanForeignPolicy.com, you can sense from their reports that they're sending out a warning. But none of these other ones, just totally oblivious. Donald Trump's voted in. This is the new reality. The EU is seeking greater military cooperation. No big deal. We'll cover this in 700 words and then move right on to the next subject. It says here, as U.S. President-elect Donald Trump began choosing his senior White House staff on Monday, EU officials agreed to push ahead with greater military cooperation outside the existing NATO alliance. And that's something most Americans don't care anything about. I mean, okay, now Trump, who's going to be his national security advisor? Who's going to be the Secretary of State? Oh, and they're hyperventilating. Who's going to be the press secretary? Who's going to be this? Who's going to be that? And meanwhile, here's what's happening in Europe. EU officials agree to push ahead with greater military cooperation. Now that's the electrifying prophecy. Now, Trump's administration is certainly going to factor into these end-time prophecies, as I covered with you yesterday. And there's something to be covered with that as well. But I think you get the point. So many Americans just totally blind. Totally blind to what's happening in the world at large. Totally blind to what's happening in Europe. Or if they do report it, as I say, it's a short article, and there's no warning whatsoever. Maybe just a tiny, tiny, tiny reference, like from the New York Times saying, well, you know, it is a delicate issue to talk about Germany taking the lead in Europe. But that's it. That's it. Says the plan for greater military cooperation pushed by Germany, France, Italy, and Spain took on new urgency after Trump's victory last week. It could result in coordinated purchases of military equipment and the activation of an existing but so far unused jointly operated rapid deployment force that presently consists of 1,500 troops. Okay, so people are going to brush it aside for sure. You can hear the skeptics already. Oh, come on. Come on. 1,500 troops and they're just now coming together to fund it. And okay, they buy some military hardware. And here they are, those nations in Europe, sitting on all of these nukes. What, there's like 5 or 6 nations across Europe where there's nuclear weapons. Well, but the U.S. Controls those, right? Well, how secure do you think some of those facilities are? We've talked about that before, particularly with respect to Turkey. And what happens if someone goes rogue? What happens if those kinds of weapons circulate on the black market? It can all happen so fast. Look at what's happened in 5 months' time. Brexit and then Trump. No one expected it. You don't think Germany and other nations, as they come together in full agreement, you don't think they can't put together a plan of action fast? We better get our heads out of the sand and look and observe at what's happening. Open our eyes to what's happening in the world, but right in front of us. The 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings, God said to the Apostle John. They're 10 kings, and they're going to come together for 1 hour with the beast. It's a short-lived empire, but it is, nevertheless, the 7th and final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. 10 heads of state coming out of the heart of Europe. This last part of Politico, it says here, Monday's decision at a meeting of EU defense ministers and foreign ministers in Brussels authorizes officials to proceed with a plan known as Permanent Structured Cooperation, or PESCO. The decision allows European nations willing to engage in greater military cooperation to go ahead without waiting for the consensus of the others, a concept known as a two-speed approach. Now, again, you go back a few years, and that was one of the underpinning principles of the whole union. There has to be a consensus with all of them. Now Britain's on the way out. Now they're forming this two-tiered approach, or this two-speed approach. And now the ones that are really serious about coming together on the military structures, well, they can go ahead and go forward with this. Two speeds. God says in the Bible there's going to be 10 kings or 10 nations, 10 groups. Wouldn't it be interesting? Not just interesting, electrifying. If the 10, well, if as the dust settles on these military plans, if the dust settles and we see that there's 10 groups or 10 leaders or 10 kings that really get behind this military cooperation. Well, we don't know how everything's going to shake down as far as the numbering and which nations and so on, although Herbert Armstrong gave us a pretty good indication of who comes out of the West, who comes out of the East. Well, he hit the nail on the head, all of these prophecies. You talk about an email alert way ahead of time, even before anyone was even dreaming that this could happen. These have one mind and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. That's what your Bible prophesies. Of course, that same chapter, Revelation 17, there's the woman there straddling the beast, presiding over this final resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. But Germany's also going to be playing a lead role. Germany will be the lead nation. And wouldn't you know it, following Trump's unbelievable victory, all of these people, we've read through some of them already. But now it's Angela Merkel defending the liberal Western values. And now it's Germany that has to take the lead. This foreign policy piece, the dawn of Pax Germanica. You've heard about Pax Britannia. You've heard about Pax Americana. Now it's Pax Germanica, at least according to foreign policy, which says, like it or not, Angela Merkel is now the main guardian of the norms, values, and institutions that make up the Atlantic Alliance. And it goes on and talks about that message of congratulations, quote-unquote, that she sent to Donald Trump. A sort of, well, we'll get behind you and support you, assuming you meet up to the norms of Western society. It talks about that in foreign policy. It makes actually the same point that we made the other day. That here it's a conditional show of support. And as foreign policy says, I mean, it used to be that the United States was the one who handed out those sorts of messages to unpredictable leaders. It was the U.S. that said, well, you know, if you meet up to these standards, human rights, so on, so forth, then you'll receive our full cooperation. Now it's the other way around. And foreign policy suggests that it wasn't just, you know, this tepid show of support for Trump, that you better watch out or we're not going to support you. Foreign policy says that message to the United States from Ms. Merkel's office, that was also a message to the rest of the nations in Europe. That, look, we will support him as long as he measures up to our standards. And if he doesn't, then we go forward. You can see it as clear as day. Even though the Bible says the United States, well, Britain too, we're going to be going to our lovers right up until the end. But those lovers are going to betray us. Foreign policy says the day after Trump's victory, Europeans and especially Germans are looking at their world with new eyes and wholly unprepared for a Trump victory. They're completely flummoxed by what they see. Political insiders admit that, like so many others around the world, they have no idea what to expect from a Trump administration and that they must be prepared for the worst. Berlin's top diplomats say they don't even know Trump's foreign policy advisors. An unprecedented state of affairs. With Trump's election, Germans are standing in front of a black hole, said this commentator from Süddeutsche Zeitung. The world could change for Germany in a way greater even than it did with the fall of the wall. Well, we're talking about earth-shaking changes here. Another commentator called it the end of the West. Well, it gives some snippets from some of the commentating in Germany. Here again, they're shocked. They weren't prepared for this. And why is it? I mean, foreign policy is here saying that this is the day after Trump's victory. Europeans, and especially Germans, they're looking at their world with new eyes. Especially the Germans. Well, they're the de facto leaders in Europe. And so everyone's looking at Germany. How's Germany going to respond? It says later, Europe now finds itself facing the sudden possibility that a President Trump makes good on his campaign promises to withdraw from world politics and, as part of the neo-isolationist strategy, pull back from NATO, the alliance's keystone. Europe is a region currently, in case you haven't noticed, it's currently beset by crises, including the increasingly authoritarian regimes in Russia and Turkey, EU acrimony, a weak French government, and a Brexiting Britain. Foreignpolicy.com says Berlin is suddenly much more important to maintaining any semblance of the current order for the simple reason that there is no one else to take the wheel. There's no one else to lead. And so they've got to step forward. There's no one else to take charge. And so Germany's got to be the one. Finally, it says here later, this could be the wake-up call. Europeans have to wake up and grow up fast. That's from Michael Broning, head of a think tank somewhere. They need to wake up. This is our wake-up call. We've got to start moving forward. Now notice this quote, just one more here before we play an audio clip. This says Germany's defense minister, Ursula von der Leyen, said Trump's election could provide an important stimulus to upgrading the EU's military capacity and bolstering its structures. The defense of liberal democracy, she said, has become our highest priority. This means that the EU has to take over more responsibility in foreign and military affairs. That's a quote von der Leyen. It says here, then, EU Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker has again brought up the possibility of an EU army, an idea that has been periodically rolled out. Listen to this. It's been periodically rolled out and then quickly mothballed in the past, but could find more traction under a President Trump. See, to this point, it's been blah, 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 or talk, talk, talk. They roll it out, then they quickly mothball it. But now you watch. First Brexit, and now the election of Donald Trump. And now Europe is prepared to act. And what does it lead to? Well, it leads to what Herbert Armstrong was prophesying decades ago, when the Soviet Union controlled Eastern Europe, when Germany was divided, when the European Union didn't even exist. Here's one example. This is clip two, Herbert Armstrong, from a television program in 1978.
Now, a united Europe will bring about a power, a superpower, because the nations of Europe want to unite. They just don't know how to do it. And it's possible that the now present Pope may, or a future one, however it may be, extend his good offices to help them bring about what they would like to have in Europe, not only economical cooperation, but an absolute political union with a common currency and a common military force. There is a great deal of nuclear power and weapons over there belonging to the United States, but which they could easily just take over.
That's Herbert Armstrong from 1978. Even in his older years, still speaking with that characteristic straightforwardness, the plain truth, common currency, common military force. It's one thing to send an email out in 2016, but come on, 1978 or 1952? And this work here today, this program, thetrumpet.com, all the literature that we send out, it's all an extension. Just a natural extension of this work that started at the Prayer Rock in 1933, right there on the Fisher Farm. And this is why we've been proclaiming these same prophecies, following right in these footsteps before us. My father gave a program a month or two ago on the resurrection of the Holy Roman Empire. Here's what he said on his Key of David show.
Now, this is what Mr. Armstrong wrote, and he's been writing it all these years until his death in 1986. So, just let me give you a few examples of his, the titles, a couple of examples. This was in 60 or 70 years ago, and the title was New Power Block Stronger Than Russia. Another one, giant world power rising out of the common market. And here's what he said in 1967. The cry of a political union in Europe will get louder and louder. Before long, we will see the common market develop into a United States of Europe, which it did. It's abbreviated the EU, but it's really going to develop into the Holy Roman Empire, and that's what Mr. Armstrong pointed out for years. One more comment here that he made, this one in 1983. The Bible prophesies of this coming United States of Europe, a new united superpower, perhaps more powerful than even the Soviet Union or the United States. Well, how about that?
Yes, how about it? As the foreign policy piece brings out, the Brexit decision and the election in the United States have set a new course for Europe. Europe is on a new course. When we come back, we'll get into, again, some of the protesting and rioting that's been going on, the violence that's been going on in the United States following Donald Trump's election last week. And also, I see on the clock, we are running out of time, so I'll ask our producer if we can play a short promo and then get right back at it. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
For an easy-to-read, information-rich news brief, join the growing readership of the Trumpet Weekly. Now you can enjoy all the top news stories from the previous week, condensed into a report combining the commentary, analysis, and reporting you've come to expect from thetrumpet.com, sent directly to your email. Subscribing is completely free. Simply visit the Trumpet Weekly section of thetrumpet.com to subscribe by email today.
The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma.
Earlier this week, we referred to that interview that Donald Trump had with Leslie Stahl there on 60 Minutes. That was Sunday night in the States. And I pointed out how that here she is pressing Donald Trump on the inappropriate behavior, supposedly coming from Trump supporters, even as supporters for Clinton and Obama were taking to the streets in Portland, in Los Angeles, in other American cities, and burning and looting as they went. And yet she pressed Donald Trump about the possibility of violence coming from his supporters. And this is how that exchange went on Sunday night. Clip four.
They're harassing Latinos, Muslims.
I am so saddened to hear that. And I say, stop it. If it helps, I will say this, and I'll say it right to the camera, stop it.
Stop it, he said twice. Regarding the fake violence coming from his supporters. Stop it. Stop doing it. And meanwhile, speaking of fake violence, there was a report on this Muslim woman who filed a report and said that a Trump hat-wearing man came on her and started beating her, took her wallet, stole her goods. The ACLU is quick to respond, and then later we come to find out it was just a hoax. Fake violence coming from a fake Trump supporter. This morning's Time, New York Times. Is it safe? Foreign students consider college in Donald Trump's U.S. So dangerous. There's so much potential for violence now that Trump has been voted in. So much so that foreign students are, they're reconsidering. Maybe they'll go to college in Australia now. Maybe they'll go to college in some other nation. Maybe the U.K., but not the United States of America. Well, I had a clip here from it. I won't even read it. You get the gist of it. And meanwhile, I mean, the media is hopping on this, the fake story, the fake violence that's keeping potential students from coming to America. And meanwhile, look at the real violence. Look at the real violence that's being promoted. There was an AP story just yesterday or the day before. Two students and a teacher they were reprimanded. I didn't read it deep enough to know what kind of reprimand it was. But they put on a Trump assassination skit. They put on a skit in school, 10th graders, depicting the assassination of Donald Trump. Now try, if you can, try to imagine the kind of coverage that story would have gotten had it happened in 2008. Two 10th graders along with a teacher putting on a skit in front of the entire school, depicting the assassination of Barack Obama. You think maybe the media would latch onto that? We'd still be hearing about it. It still would be a story. Look at the examples. The real violence. The man in Chicago pulled out of his car. People kicking him, beating him, telling him not to vote for Trump. Case in New York City, a 74-year-old man. He was assaulted. This was outside of Trump Tower. You heard about some of the protests outside of Trump Tower. There was a Black Lives Matter activist there. He walked by, and he's 74 years old. And he yelled out, "All lives matter." And a 23-year-old female just tackled him and threw him to the ground. 74-year-old man thrown to the ground by a 23-year-old female Black Lives Matter activist. A lot of these reports, too, and they're not getting the coverage they should. But it's appalling. So many of them are happening at schools or with young people. Another case here in Virginia. An elementary school student beaten by classmates for voting Trump in a mock election. Students in an elementary. They just started beating away because he voted Trump in a mock election. That's crazy. A Connecticut man. How about this one? He's just standing on a traffic island holding up a sign. Vote for Trump, holding up an American flag. And two men started pummeling him. A police officer had to break it up. And he arrested the two that were beating him because he was holding up a Trump sign. There's the case in California, Redwood City. A high school student, a gal, brutally beaten for supporting Donald Trump. As I say, so many of these cases involve teenagers. These are frightening episodes. These are incidents of real violence. Down in Florida, a high school student there punched another one who was holding up a Trump sign. And then maybe the more shocking of all, this case in Atlanta, Georgia, where a Georgia man was murdered, apparently after an argument about Donald Trump possibly deporting a Hispanic man. Got into a heated argument, and then the Trump supporter murdered in cold blood. More recently, here's a 15-year-old in, I think it's San Antonio. Well, it's in the story. Oh, this is the Maryland case. Here's what Powerline had to say about it. A pro-Trump student was beaten yesterday during an anti-Trump march held by students from Richard Montgomery High School in Rockville, Maryland. Says the victim, who wore a Make America Great Again cap, argued with one of the protesters. Pretty soon, according to a witness, he was jumped and found himself being punched and kicked by the disputant and four other students. The beating left the pro-Trump student, age 15, injured and disoriented. He was taken to a local hospital. The injuries reportedly are not serious. But then it says here the school principal said that the perpetrator would receive appropriate consequences. Well, we'll see if we hear more on that. But as Powerline brings out, here are these high schoolers protesting at 10 a.m. when they should have been in school, and this wouldn't have even happened. But here you have the administrator saying, all right, I mean, they're too distraught. They're too distraught to take their test or to sit in class. They've got to go out. They've got to exercise their free speech rights. They've got to cause trouble. And sure enough, they did. They sure did. Here is the radical left going on and on. As I said, it's in the New York Times today. People applying for college in the United States, they're afraid to come, so says the New York Times. Because of all of the hate, because of all of the violence put on by Donald Trump supporters, and yet somehow the violence keeps popping up on the other side, coming from the radical left. Well, some reporters brought it up in front of President Obama yesterday when he was in Germany. asking if he was going to call off or denounce the anti-Trump protesting that's going on nationwide. And this was in Berlin. Here's what President Obama had to say.
I would not advise people who feel strongly or are concerned about some of the issues that have been raised during the course of the campaign. I wouldn't advise them to be silent. What I would advise, what I advised before the election and what I will continue to advise after the election, is that elections matter, voting matters, organizing matters.
In other words, don't stop protesting and get out the vote. That's the advice coming from the President of the United States. So here's how upside down the world is. You have a president-elect Donald Trump, calling for an end to the fake violence brought on by his supporters, and you have the President of the United States encouraging the ongoing violence aimed at Donald Trump supporters. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Don't forget to email us, td@kpcg.fm. When we come back, with the few minutes that we have left, we'll try to race through as many emails as we can. We'll be right back.
The Trumpet Daily Radio Show airs every morning at 7 a.m. Central Time on KPCG 101.3 FM in Edmond, Oklahoma. Are we living in the last days? Some dismiss the notion as fanatical, but world leaders and news analysts are issuing warnings that are becoming more and more dire. Could Bible prophecies about the last days actually be accurate? Our brochure can help guide you through the relevant news and history and help you compare these events to what the Bible says. Are we living in the last days? This brochure is available for free right now at thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Well, I think I collected over 20 emails here, and I've got 4 minutes left, so I'm thinking I won't be able to get through all of these. Sorry to say, but that just gives us, hopefully, some, if they don't become too dated, that gives us a few more leftovers for next week. But keep sending in those emails. Don't forget about your weekend assignment. Send them in, and hopefully we can get them on the air next week. This one here says, thank you once again for keeping us up on world news and the Bible's perspective. Stunning as we watch it come to pass before our eyes. I look forward to each program with great anticipation. It really does make my day. Another one here in response to yesterday's show on the trade wars. Here come the trade wars Mr. Armstrong told us about years ago. Wow. I got that one yesterday after I finished the program and thought, yeah, in all my notes that I was compiling hurriedly right up to the last minute, I meant to try to squeeze in a quote from Mr. Armstrong about the economic troubles that we'll be heading into immediately prior to the Great Tribulation. So that listener brings up a good point, and it follows on what we discussed with you yesterday. This one here from Detroit, Michigan, right there in the Rust Belt, that was so critical to the recent election. It says, from the beginning of KPCG.fm, you have had my interest. I've been a student of PCOG literature, or a student of the PCOG through its literature the last few years. And this new growth using radio waves has given me a new level to explore. What a blessing it has become. The variety of content offered is wonderful to have available for this coworker living near Detroit. Another one here from a gal in North Dakota. What an inspiring TD to end a wild week in this unfolding political comedy. This is in response to the programs we had at the end of last week. It says here, TD continues to put all its craziness into godly perspective. Imagine how events could be if the majority of these tantrum-throwing journalists and rioters looked a little deeper into reality, as the journalist you mentioned did. This is that one that actually came out and said, hey, we got it wrong. It says here, instead, these events sadly demonstrate the depth of deception and lack of character into which this nation continues to descend. I love the scriptures you pointed out in 2 Chronicles, which have also been made into a beautiful, hope-filled, and inspiring song, so encouraging in a world that could otherwise be excruciatingly depressing. It says later on, thank God for giving us hope through KPCG and his dedicated staff. It is the daily dose that we need to keep us focused in an otherwise insane world. Another one here from a listener in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I really enjoy listening to the Trumpet Daily. It is a city on a hill work, a breath of fresh air. It's so easy to be distracted in this world, and it seems that even making a living can become a distraction. Your program helps me to redirect my focus and to look forward beyond the here and now. Thanks so much for all that you do. It is not only appreciated, it is needed. Another one here from Edmonton, Alberta. It says, thank you for keeping us up with the news since the election results and telling us what to watch for. It's exciting to see prophecies being fulfilled and in the making. This is a light in a dark nation and world that doesn't understand what's happening because they don't have the light of Bible prophecy. Keep up the good work. Well, we will work to do that. And you work to send us a comment. Tell us where you're from. Tell us how you listen, all those goodies, and then tell us what you think about the program. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show as we put the finishing touches on another week of broadcasting. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks for joining us this week. We'll see you next week.